This is Dare to Be Authentic Talk Radio Worldwide with relationship coach, life coach, and author Mari Mitchell, broadcasting live from Southern California.
Hi, and welcome to Dare to Be Authentic Radio. I'm your host, Mari Mitchell, and I'm so glad to be with you today on a sweltering summer day in Southern California. We're almost close to 100 degrees, and we're only 7 miles from the beach, so this is very unusual weather for us. But I understand it gets even hotter. It was 130 degrees out in Death Valley yesterday, so I think we consider ourselves very fortunate. Today I have a very special guest, Jennifer Benson. She's going to be talking about her fascinating journey to become her most authentic and true self. After teaching abroad for 14 years, Jennifer moved home, risking everything. She experienced loss, divorce, guilt, and fear. And she's the author of her memoir, Beautiful Possibilities, which illustrates her life abroad as both woman and expat. She loves to talk about following your instincts, taking the leap, and honoring signs and nudges from the universe. Welcome to the show, Jennifer. How are you doing today?
Hi, Mari. I'm great. And thank you so much for having me on today. I really appreciate it.
It's my pleasure completely, Jennifer. So let's talk a little bit about your story. You have a very interesting and long one, but we're going to make it short.
Okay, yes. But yes, I can tell you about my story and my journey. But back in 2003, I made a move over to Kuwait and to teach internationally. It was something that a big leap that I took in my life. And I had to basically come up with a decision about whether or not to accept this opportunity. My sister was already over in Kuwait teaching. And when an opportunity showed up, I decided to answer it, but it was not without asking for signs from the universe and, you know, and listening for the signs and looking for the signs and doing some prayers and, you know, and taking the leap. And from that leap, I've had a 14-year journey in both Kuwait and Qatar to teach and ended up coming back home again. But it was probably the hardest decision of my life, but it was also the best decision of my life. So, yeah.
I think that the leap to go to Kuwait as a woman, oh my gosh, I can't even begin to fathom how scared I would be. So,
well, you know, it's funny, like at the time I was, I was teaching in Casanova and I love my job, but I also felt I was in a tender relationship with a college boyfriend and it didn't seem to be going anywhere. And I just wondered, like, that life just seemed stagnant. And I just wondered what else was out there. And then I kept asking for signs and looking for something. I didn't even know what it was that I wanted. And then this opportunity kind of fell into my lap. And then I asked, for clarity and was this the right decision? And I was so scared to make this huge decision because I knew it was going to take some sacrifice on my part, you know, to leave family and leave home and leave a boyfriend and, you know, to pursue that. But something told me to ask my boss for a year leave, my principal. And I was only there for 2 years and I hadn't had my tenure yet and they approved it. And I think that was a big part of my kind of like an insurance that I still had my job. I can try this out for a year and I didn't have anything to lose. So the signs kind of really aligned for me that enabled me to move forward and take the opportunity.
That's really great. I love that you talk about those signs and we all have them. We just have to be paying attention to them. And more than anything, I think ask for them.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I asked just to make it completely clear one way or the other. Yes. If this is no, stop me. And if this was yes, give me the green lights, give me the thumbs up, give me the signs, you know, so somebody put it in my head to ask my principal for the leave. And, you know, and I think sometimes in life, you know, with myself, I'm afraid to ask and speak up for what I want. And it was hard for me. And, you know, and I had friends that said, well, look what happened. Sometimes you get what you want in your life when you speak up. And that was a monumental moment for me that, you know, enabled me to take that journey. Because if they said no, I don't know if I would have gone forward. Right. So,
right. And so unusual, like you say, so you have been there such a short time and they say, okay, you could take a year leave, so you knew that had to be.
Yeah.
What you're right about picking up and asking for what you want, because as women, we're not really taught that. At least I wasn't. And so I think
Yeah, that was definitely hard for me. And I thought, okay, at this point, what's the worst that can happen? You know, I can stay working here and I love my job, but it was worth it to ask for it. And my principal even said, I can see why you would ask, because this is, a chance of a lifetime, even just to try it for a year. So, yeah, all the stars aligned. And I think I needed to see that before I took the leap. So before I took that leap, looking for the signs, asking for clarity, and seeing that the pieces came together. And they did. And they did. So
very good. So I know that you ended up, after 14 years there, you knew that it was time to go back home. But again, it was another leap that you had to take. Would you share that with us?
Yeah, I spent my 14 years there and met my ex-husband, unfortunately ex-husband now, somebody I think the world of still. But he actually, when my sister was teaching over there, David actually took her place, and he was from British Columbia. And so it was just the neatest thing. And then, of course, we spent, over 13 years by that point when I met him. It was about 13 years. And after that amount of time, I think once I left Kuwait after 9, I spent, or after 10, I spent the remaining in Qatar. And I think that first year in Qatar was really hard for me. I remember sitting in a little Indian restaurant outside of Doha in Qatar, and I got my picture taken for my 40th birthday. And I was smiling at the camera, and I was thinking, what the heck am I doing? Because at that point, I think the universe kind of whispered again and said, it's time. It's time. And unfortunately, David wanted to stay overseas, and I can understand that. And I held on for 4 more years because I was so afraid of, losing David. And it was just hard for me to make that decision. But I think the signs kind of came into my lap again. And there were signs that, you can't ignore. And I think your body also will tell you when you're ready to make that decision and what the right decision is. And I think I started becoming very nervous and drinking wine on the weekend. And I was doing things that were just not like me. I lost a lot of interest in my activities, my writing. And I just felt like, okay, after 4 years, okay, I think it's time. And I couldn't afford not to make that decision anymore. And I had to come home and, so that's what I had to do. And once again, it was the hardest decision, but it was the best decision, and I had to make it. And it doesn't come without loss. It doesn't come without fear. It doesn't come without sacrifice. It comes with anxiety and everything you can think of. But at the same time, I knew I was on the right path.
Yeah.
So it's just having to make that leap and get over that initial hurdle and to give myself permission to make a decision. That was hard once again, doing that. So,
that's a very good point, giving yourself permission to make that decision. Otherwise, you just stay frozen, not making one decision or the other as time goes by, more and more time goes by. So,
right.
What would you say to a person who is maybe facing a big decision? What kind of words do you have for them? Yeah.
I think the biggest thing is, I made another decision was to get into writing once I got home, and I made that leap as well. But I think in all three of these major opportunities or leaps, wherever you want to say, I've had three in the last since 2003. I think they all have a pattern for me, it seems like. And they start off with you get these whispers and these nudges and these thoughts of, something's not right. I need something different. I want something more. I don't know what it is. And then with me, I'm like, okay, I'm just going to ignore that because if I listen, then I'm going to have to do something. And I probably wasn't ready at the time, so I kind of ignored it and put it off. But then once again, they pop up now and then they pop up more and more, and the universe starts to turn up the heat, and I had to listen to that. And then what I did was once again, you ask for signs. I ask God, give me signs one way or the other and make them very clear. Make them so clear that I can't miss them, that they fall right into my lap. I need to know and I need to be able to see these. And I want it. And I think sometimes, at least for myself, I'm so afraid of making the wrong decision. I mean, I'm a Libra, not to generalize Libras, but decision making can be hard. And you could write out the pros and cons a million times, but I really had to go with my heart. And in all three of those cases, and if I had listened maybe more logically and with my head, I probably never would have gone to Kuwait, you know, and I, but yeah, so, you know, I think listen to those nudges, ask for clarity and expect to see the signs. And there was times when I had to go into a quiet room and just kind of listen and, you know, and sometimes when I would be in the car, I'd hear signs, and sometimes they say in the shower, you hear signs, but have that quiet time so you can hear, you know, I can pray for signs, but then I want to be open and receptive to hearing them. And so then the signs are revealed and then, you know, you listen to your body. And my first leap when I went to Kuwait, I was excited and hopeful and I felt some possibility, and it felt more scary to stay behind than it did go. And then the second leap to come back home, I finally got to that point where when I was on that plane flying back home from Doha, I did feel pure relief. My body just couldn't take it anymore. And I was felt like I could breathe again. And then I thought about it. I'm like, well, what if I stay in Doha? And that feeling, my body felt like it was literally suffocating. Like it was extremely heavy. And so I listened to that and I listened to those signs, you know? So I think you can listen to your body, pick and make a decision. How does my body feel toward this decision? You know, how do I feel toward this decision? And just listen for those signs and on how your body reacts. I think that's really helpful, you know? So, and I think, you know, what's that?
Listening to your body, you know, I think that's a fantastic point that you make, but go ahead.
Yeah. And book that really helped me when I was overseas, when I was in Qatar, I just ran into it on Amazon, was Dr. Susan Jeffers' book on Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway. And she talks about, you know, trying to make these decisions and giving ourselves permission. And then it is going to be scary. But every time we evolve, every time we make a leap, every time we make a change in life, fear is going to be there because we're changing and growing and we're stepping out of our comfort zone. And and that really resonated with me. And I'm like, okay, fear, you can come along, but you're going to have to sit in the back. I'm driving.
I like that. That's so true.
So you just can't, like, I couldn't afford to have it in the driver's seat, or I would, like you said, I would be paralyzed and I wouldn't go anywhere, you know? So I had to tell it to sit in the back. I love you and I appreciate you being in my life and trying to take care of me, but I have to do this and you gotta, I want you to support me. And, but yeah, that leaps are scary, but you know, at the same time, they don't stop. They don't, like, they can't afford to let them stop me either, you know? So I think it's going to be there. I just have to know that every time I change, it'll probably pop up more often, and that's normal, you know? And, but yeah.
We don't want change because we're afraid we fear the future, the unknown, what we don't know what happened. We know what we have now, even if we don't like it, but we don't know what we get.
Right. So and I think go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I was just going to say too, like, I think with my soul, sometimes I felt like my soul's ready to make these great, big, huge, giant leaps, but my nervous system, which is part of my fear, is putting the brakes on and saying, no, you're not ready. You can't do this. What are you doing? You know, so I think it's just trying to line up my soul and these big goals and these leaps and, you know, wanting to evolve and do something different or cool. And then I'm waiting for my nervous system to kind of catch up with me. And I think that takes time too, to get nervous system kind of used to the idea. Okay. All right. I guess we're okay. I just saw the signs. My school is going to give me your leave. It's going to be okay, you know. And I think the more signs you see and, you know, I think the more you see that, I think it's a lot easier.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that part about your nervous system catching up, because I think so many times we do have those nudges and those little whispers, but we're not anywhere near ready. That's why they're little nudges and whispers. They're not that big. And time, I call it, to align with it, to be fully aligned with that decision. Doesn't mean there's going to be zero fear. You can't wait for that, because like you say, nothing will happen. But once you begin to align with it and then you begin to step into it, then it all opens up for you. Beautiful. So we're going to take a quick break hear from our sponsors. And if you want to call and ask Jennifer a question, we invite you to call 929-477-3869. That's 929-477-3869. You can start calling them now, and we'll be right back.
Are you a highly successful, purpose-driven professional woman who is tired of settling for less than what you want? If yes, then you need a copy of Dr. Denise Moore's book, Own Your Amazing, Discover Your Power to Create an Amazing Life You Love. In this award-nominated and number one best-selling book, Dr. Denise provides the essential principles you need to find your voice and live your worth out loud. Go to ownyouramazingnow.com to get a free excerpt from the book.
We see the oppression that goes on before our eyes when priests and police get away with heinous crimes. The Veronica Journey on Amazon and Kindle. Once upon a time, the Pope controlled everything. People were slaughtered brutally, and whole cultures were destroyed for not submitting. What if the Vatican would have had guns, nuclear weapons, Hitler's technology, cars, and spaceships? The Veronica Journey, on Amazon and available on Kindle.
Is pain keeping you awake at night? Do you often feel not good enough? Through acts4transformation.com, A-C-T-S, numerate 4, transformation.com, you can discover your core emotional needs and raise awareness of your limiting belief and your hidden potential. Kim Nai-Chi Lee is a qualified therapist and a creative coach, providing unique, authentic connection coaching. acts4transformation aims to help 10,000 people to a mastery of their own life. Come and sign up for a trial session now.
What you know about money is making you broke. I'm author Ted McClymont. I help smart, busy people discover why your money temperament is making you broke and then show you how to fix it in 5 easy steps. Discover Your Money Temperament, A Common Sense Guide to Financial Security, is an easy read for everybody who spends money and wants to make better money choices. Order your copy now at www.tedmcclymont.com and learn why success with money is about managing your behavior, not your money.
We're back on Dare to Be Authentic Radio. I'm your host, Mari Mitchell, with special guest Jennifer Benson. We've been talking about her fascinating journey to become her most authentic and true self. So, Jennifer, what is the main message that you want to bring to the public?
Well, I think one of the biggest messages that I have was something I actually got out of Susan's book as well. When I was in my last year at Qatar, I noticed that I wasn't feeling like I belonged there anymore. And I didn't know if it was Qatar. I didn't know if it was the Middle East. I didn't even know if I wanted to be a teacher anymore. There was a lot of that going on. And I couldn't figure out specifically which one it was. And then through that book, she brought up something about the concept of a life grid, where you have these 9 areas of your life. If you take a piece of paper and make 9 sections, like a tic-tac-toe board, you put in things that you value in life. And I think that's what it was. My values had changed from when I initially went over. When I went over, I wanted to pay off my college loans. I wanted to travel and see the world, have some adventure. And then after 19 years, I appreciated family. I wanted to be back in my roots. I appreciated the United States more. I appreciated my hometown. And you know, I think I was just in a different place. I wanted nature again. I was just starving for pine trees and water and, you know, country roads. So I looked down and I'm like, I'm going to fill my squares. So I'm going to put things in here. So I had my husband, I had work, friends from work, and then I had exercising at work. I had lost a lot of interest in my writing and doing other things. So my squares were pretty empty, and maybe shopping and getting an occasional pedicure, which gets old after a long time. I'm like, I can't fill my squares, and it put things into perspective about where my values were. So when I moved back home, eventually what happened is my squares were so much different. And these were just the areas that were of so much more value to me, you know, and I don't regret a day of my Middle East experiences. In fact, they were some of the best times of my life. I loved living in the Middle East. I loved living there. I found it vibrant. And to me, I just found, you know, especially when I lived in Kuwait, my experiences there and everything were great. But when I came home, I needed family square. I needed nature and simplicity. I've kind of put those together. Community again. When I go to the Y to work out, I have my little Y community. I was just starving for that. Friends, you know, and my work I had. And then, you know, of course, I was without my husband. I had to start over. I didn't have a guy square. That was fine. I had exercise again. I could work out outside. And the biggest thing I wanted to share was I had that middle square where I started working on myself and tried to find ways to love myself again and to feel worthy again, because I was really starting at ground zero when I moved home. Even though I know it was the right thing to do, I felt like I had to start over, and I put into practice a daily program that worked for me and doing that. So, and that was basically prayer, meditation, and affirmations. And those really got the ball rolling. So, and I still do them to this day, and it's just made such a huge change in my life. But that's one of the messages that I wanted to share. And, of course, listening to all your nudges and signs in the universe, of course, as well. So,
yeah. Very good. So what role do you think authenticity played in all of this for you?
When I set out on this journey, I know I mentioned something to you about what I was going to say about authenticity. But, you know, when I set out on my whole journey, I never intended to say that I was going to try to be authentic or to really, really like strive for that. You know, I was just thinking of, initially, I was thinking of surviving, you know, and moving to another country and trying to figure out everything and survive. But it wasn't until I got back home again that I realized that I finally became more of my true self by listening to what I needed, my body needed, what I needed emotionally, mentally, and spiritually, what my values were. I think that was tied to it really heavily, is figuring out who I was as a woman and who my values were and what were the things that meant the most to me in life. And that took me a while to figure that out. My perspective had changed in the world and how I viewed the world. But I think authenticity is listening to those nudges and following your own unique pathway in life. It could be big risk. It could be small risk. It could be this big, huge leap that's going to change your life forever. It could be, I'm going to take one little tiny risk today, and I'm going to, and that from that little risk, I'm going to feel so empowered, you know, and it's going to be, you know, something that's going to be great for me, and it's going to make me even find out more of who I am and what I'm made of, and to take risks to know that I can handle stuff again, you know. And I remember when I was in the tsunami in 2004, if nothing else that I got out of that, I'm like, I know how to handle myself. I can handle life. Whatever comes my way now, I think I can handle it. So I think it's about figuring out our pathway, but also it's more about, I knew that God had my back. I knew that I could ask for signs and ask for help, ask for what I wanted, and to keep following the signs and nudges. And I don't think it's something that is, you know, now I kind of look at my life as I'm more rock steady. I have that strong foundation of self-love and spiritual well-being, and I'm ready to shine more. And I think my squares are full. They're lush. I love my squares. That's my focus in life. That's my purpose. All nine squares are my purpose. And I suspect, though, that more and more with every day, my true purpose is going to become even more visible to me. Because I don't think it's ever something that I'm going to stop doing. It's living life and every day finding more and more about what makes you tick and how you can handle things, and you can. And I suspect that this is going to continue probably my whole life. And I'm meant to keep forward and moving forward and to grow and to flourish and keep carving out my truest self. And I keep telling people, I'm chipping away at it. Chipping away at it. And that's kind of how I view it.
Yeah, and that's a really beautiful way to say it, because as you said that, I'm picturing a sculptor, you know. Sculpting something out of marble or out of rock, and the only way to do it is to chip away. And when it's first there, it's just kind of a blob. But as you chip away more, you get all those beautiful things. So, you know, our authentic self is like that. It you know, just living life, we lose our authentic self. We were born with it. Little children, you watch them. They know exactly who they are. But after a while, like you said, it gets buried under all that, and you're chipping away at it. So am I. I love that. It's beautiful. Very nice.
Yeah, and chipping away, I use that for everything, because chipping away at something means there's no pressure. There's no timeline. You know, and I love that. I had a friend that's going back to school after a long time. You know, she's an older lady, and I, you know, and I just tell people, chip away at it. You're chipping away. You know, you're chipping away at something. There's no pressure. You're going to get it done when, you know, and it's going to be fine, and everything's going to go along. And, you know, it takes the pressure off yourself. There's, you know, so I like that expression a lot. But, yeah.
Really nice. So let's talk a little bit about your memoir, Beautiful Possibilities. Tell us your inspiration for that and what can the reader expect?
Well, I think it's that whole journey about, you know, taking the first leap. And it shows a little bit about the backstory, about why I did it and the signs that I saw and found, what, you know, and what life was like over there week to week, and, you know, the kind of things that happen living in the life in the Middle East. I looked at the Middle East through the lens of a woman and as an expat, you know, living there. And there was a lot of exciting times and adventurous times, you know, the course that I wanted to put in there. Like when I was there, the women in Kuwait got to vote. That was exciting, know. And then my first year there, we were evacuated because of the second Gulf War. I think it was called Operation Freedom, I want to say. So our school, our whole school was evacuated. You know, the American embassy said, that's it, go home. And there first they were going to send us all to Sri Lanka, but we ended up going back to New York to our point of origin. And we waited it out, and then we had to make a decision about whether or not we were going to go, and they called us back. And that was another leap. You just keep getting these leaps. I don't think it's ever one big leap. It's several, many leaps. And when Missy and I, my sister and I, were like, we're going, you know, it didn't feel right for some reason to stay. And then my second year, I met David, you know, and I think I was meant to go back. And, you know, and then he and I experienced a tsunami together, and, you know, and then switching schools and moving down to Qatar. And I thought it would be very similar, but it was actually quite a different experience for me. And I think that was kind of the beginning of, I don't want to say the beginning of the end. I want to say it's kind of like the beginning of another beginning, but yeah, it was just what that life looked like. And I did enjoy my time, and, you know, and enjoyed my journey so very much, and living over in that part of the world, there were so many benefits from it. I became so much more open-minded. I learned that there was not just one right way to do things, and I learned to live with, you know, in amongst a different culture, how to be patient, you know, and you know, respecting traditions and respecting that culture and being a guest in that culture. And I learned to, at the same time, I also learned to appreciate where I live now, you know. And I also realized that through that book, and I think I demonstrate that, I found out that I'm more country oriented than I ever thought. Country girl are, you know, you speak of most of the international schools are in these big cities. And, you know, people either resonate with that kind of lifestyle or they don't. And I'm very introverted, so I think after a while, I think that ran its course too. But I love my time, and just looking at that journey of how I went over, what life was like over there, and how I made the decision to come back home. And basically, like I said, start all over again. You know, within David and I kept in touch, you know, we tried to make a go of it long distance. It just didn't work out. And eventually we moved on and got a divorce, but that wasn't until I think 4 years later. And it's hard. It was hard to end that relationship. And finally, I think he was one that finally asked for the divorce, and going into the divorce lawyer and signing that paperwork away and dealing with those emotions and feeling like you failed in some way. And how to, you know, how I had to rebound and recover from that. But once again, those were all in the best interest for both he and I. And we loved each other enough to want what was best for each other. And he now is in Manila, and he has a house, and I want what's best for him. And once I signed that paperwork, it was within a month that I met one of the nicest guys. And it was, and I'm like, if I'm going to meet somebody, it's going to be on my squares. One of my squares, but that squares are where I'm the happiest. Lo and behold, YMCA. So, but it's almost like when once I signed off on that paperwork, it's like the universe said, okay, now you're ready.
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
And life, and life finally opened back up for me again, you know, and that was, you know, obviously we had to do that and, you know, and move on with our lives. And, but that was something else that I noticed. And once I left that office, when I signed off on the paperwork, as sad as it was, I felt very light and I felt very free, and I had to do that. And it forced me to move forward, and I needed it, you know. So that, just about that journey, you know, like coming back home and rerouting and finding ways to, like I said, heal and love myself and being able to move forward in life with my squares. And yeah, so life is good.
Very good. So we're just about out of time. So let's talk about how to get a hold of you and your book.
Oh, yep. I'm on, right now, one of the best ways is my Facebook author page. So Jennifer Benson Author. That's probably one of my best ways. I'm also on LinkedIn, too, for Jennifer Benson.
Okay.
And it's writer. And so I'm on there as well.
Mm-hmm.
And my, on Instagram, I'm JenBen123.
Okay.
Yeah. And my website link is on my Facebook author, and I can bring that up as well, but that's linked onto my Facebook author page. But my author page is Jennifer Benson Author at GoDaddySites.com.
Perfect. And Jennifer's site, of course, is right here on Blog Talk. You can click from there. You can also find her on my website, LifeCoachMari.com. That's LifeCoachMari.com. You'll see her there with a picture, a link to this interview, and a link to her website. And speaking of the link to this interview, we will have a replay created immediately, so make sure you pass this on. She's got so many good things to tell. Well, Jennifer, we're completely out of time. Thank you so much for being on the show today. It was such a pleasure having you. And thank you so much, Mari. It was my pleasure. And thank you for listening in to Dare to Be Authentic Radio. Make sure you catch us next time. Bye for now.
Bye-bye. Thank you, everyone.
Bye.
This is Dare to Be Authentic Talk Radio Worldwide with relationship coach, life coach, and author Mari Mitchell, broadcasting live from Southern California.